Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Deborah Goodman is an actor who is performing in the Phoenix Stage Company's production of Baskerville, which will run from July 15th through Saturday, July 29th at 133 Main Street in Oakville at the former Clockwork Repertory Theater. Goodman's acting career restarted 4 years ago, and since then, she has been featured in multiple shows every year in Northwest Connecticut. I had the pleasure of working with her in a production at the Warner Theater in Torrington 3 years back. We'll be talking with Deborah Goodman about her career in theater and so much more here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, Deb Goodman. Thank you for being here at WAPJ in Torrington, Connecticut.
Thank you for having me.
It is so great to talk to you. As I mentioned at the intro, we worked together on a production. It actually was at the Nancy Marine Theater, part of the Warner Stage Company's theater program in Torrington a couple of years back under the direction of Keith Paul.
Yes, that was very fun. It was a lot of fun. We all got to, well, except for you, we all got to play Reapers, most of us.
That's true. I enjoyed working with you immensely. I'm so happy and thrilled that you're here on the program, especially because you have a new show that you're working on, that you're a part of, with the Phoenix Stage Company.
Yes, it's actually it'll be the first time it's performed in Connecticut, and the title is Baskerville. It's adapted by Ken Ludwig, and it's a Sherlock Holmes mystery, if you couldn't tell from the title.
I figured it out. In fact, Ken Ludwig, it doesn't surprise me that it's a Sherlock Holmes theme, because I'm a fan of his work, and I remember seeing another production of his that featured the Gillettes. So it's kind of a Sherlock Holmes theme. I think it was called The Games Afoot. So that's by the same playwright. So it doesn't surprise me that that he has written about Baskerville. So are the characters Sherlock Holmes and Watson, and then
yes,
a cast of characters?
Yes. This is kind of a la 39 Steps, where there is two people. So Jonathan Ross plays Holmes and Tim Phillips plays Watson. Mm-hmm. And they've both been in multiple productions. They have careers spanning decades. And then Casey Ross, Dan Willey, and I, along with Rodney Kay, that's his stage name. He told me Rodney Kay because his last name is very long.
Okay.
But we all play multiple characters. There's about 40 characters that we split between the rest of us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's one of those where it's very fast paced. There's a lot of comedy. Some comedy is kind of Monty Python-ish. Some comedy is kind of like Young Frankenstein-ish. There's a lot of, it's a great production. There's mystery, there's comedy, there's danger, there are big hounds. And some of the changes, actually, the costume changes and the character changes take place right before your very eyes.
Oh, my.
Yes. And there's also, we also have Rob Richnofsky actually helped us work on the stage combat.
Choreography.
Yes, the stage combat aspect. So there's
very
a little
nice
bit of that. It's directed by Ed Bassett and stage managed by Lori Pullen. So,
that's exciting. And it sounds like there's a cast of thousands, even though there's a cast of six or seven. Is that the
Now the this is Dan Willey actually was in the production at the Warner in the Nancy Marines. No, it was on the main stage. I'm sorry. The main stage of the Warner, the 39 Steps that was produced a couple of years ago, was directed by
I loved his work
Catherine
in it.
I
wrote about it at for the Register Citizen.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
that
I
was
remember
great.
Reading
he was fantastic in that. I really enjoyed that. Dick Terhune was in that as well. Holly Martin.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it was a great production. And so I understand why somebody who would like the 39 Steps mm-hmm. would then enjoy this particular
absolutely
show.
Absolutely. And I don't even know how many accents he does, but he does them all brilliantly. So we all have our hand at several different accents, and it's quite fun. It's
Now,
quite fun.
were you drawn to this because are you a Sherlock Holmes fan? Are you a.
I am.
You
I
are.
am. I love mysteries. I love, I've been reading like Nancy Drew. I grew up reading that, and then soon after that, got into to Sherlock Holmes. And I've been to Gillette Castle many times, and I love all the like. When I was little, I wanted to grow up and have a house that had secret entrances and bookcases that turned into something else. So yeah, I've always been kind of drawn to this, but I like the madcap advent. I like the opportunity to play all of these different characters as well. And Ed is really letting us go really big and huge and dramatic with them. So that's a lot of fun to just, he's like, I'll tell you when it's too much. So that's been a lot of fun.
That's exciting. I bet you know what there's it must be fun to play so many different characters. Would that be fair, or is it scary to play that too many characters?
Both, because you have to, if you're one person and you're playing multiple roles, the important thing is to make sure that each one of those is distinct. And it's more than just obviously you can do that with costumes and makeup and things like that and your voice, but it's also the way that your body moves. And so you have to be aware the way that you relate to the other characters. So you have to be aware of all of that, and kind of, like. Just have that concept. And sometimes you don't have that concept until you're working it on stage with everybody else. And sometimes it's also hard when you're on, when you have a book in your hand, because you're not looking at the other actors, you're just looking at your book. So it really sometimes develops, like I just developed a walk for my character this past week for one of them. And it just kind of, I was like, I tried a whole bunch of different walks, and this is the one I'm going to go with. And I went on stage and I broke both of the actors on stage. So I was like, okay, this is the one I'm sticking with, because that's funny.
Is that something that especially if you're working on a comedy, that it's kind of a fun thing to do to see if you can get the other actors to break character just for the rehearsal?
Yes, and I've been told by I was just in Phoenix, just closed a actually 5-star reviewed production of Three Musketeers.
Yes, absolutely. I wish I could have gotten down for that. It did. It got a 5-star
It
review
did
for Republican
in the
American.
Republican American, and Nancy Sasso Janis always gives us.
She's
She's
remarkable.
lovely about coming down, and she gave us a great review as well. But yeah, that was a great production, and actually, myself, Dan Willey, and Rodney were all part of that production as well. It's interesting to kind of make the transition between the two of those. And there was a lot of stage combat in that and stuff like that. So going from that to this is, something that's more. There was comedy in Three Musketeers. It was a neat production in that it kind of flowed the way that you want kind of a drama to go. Even though I think it was built as a comedy, there was a lot of dramatic moments in the play with people getting murdered and things like that. And a lot of great friends that I got to work with. But one of them, Eric Martin, who has been in Clockwork Productions and is now in Phoenix Productions, he said that I was one of the few people that can break him on stage just by looking at my face. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or just looking at my face can break people,
No, no,
but.
no. When it's a comedy, that's the highest of compliments. And I've been a fan of the Phoenix Stage Company's work. I remember going down when they were performing in Naugatuck,
Yes.
and I remember seeing Marilyn Crowe Olsen in an amazing performance. The
Masterclass. I
Masterclass.
was in
That's
that as
right.
well.
That's right.
Yes.
And I enjoyed
Yes.
your role there. So I was able to write about your work then as well.
Yes.
That was just a tour de force performance. It was the type of thing where I was very happy to have been there to have seen it, because it was
Yeah.
very, very powerful. And they do, the Phoenix Stage Company really does a fantastic job.
Yeah, that was directed by Lucia Dressel, and that was really Marilyn really kind of sunk into that role, and it was great to be a part of that. And Sybil Chamberlain, that was the first time I had met her, and she's a lovely
She's
person.
fantastic. That's right.
And Leland Schick, who knew he could sing, and he was beautiful. You know, he did a beautiful job. So that was great. He's a Phoenix regular as well. So that was great to be a part of that with them.
Well, the Phoenix Stage Company, so they have some right in what you're saying, it's regulars, people who are often working with this particular core group. I have a feeling that there has a kind of a very close-knit quality to the Phoenix Stage Company. Would that be a fair assessment?
It would be. We always talk about Phoenix as a kind of family, and it is one of the most welcoming theater groups I have ever been a part of. I, you know, started in theater in high school, and then and was co-president with my best friend of the drama club, and actually went to UConn for acting, and was so turned off by it that I did not graduate. I graduated with a minor in theater, but that was no longer my major. So it just it's kind of a rude awakening, especially being a woman in that type of career, I guess. And it really, unfortunately, it hasn't come as far as the rest of the world, as far as the way that women are treated in that profession. So it kind of turned me off the theater for very, very many years. And then I just happened to see a newspaper article about auditions in Naugatuck, which was where I was living at the time. I went down and I tried out and got the lead in Red Velvet Cake War. So, and they really enjoyed the work that I did with whipped cream, which I had to eat a lot of whipped cream during that show. And I didn't eat whipped cream for about a year and a half after that. But it was a lot of fun and I felt so welcomed and so warm there. But I also have to say, they are fabulous with welcoming new people. We usually have somebody that's brand new to us in almost every single production. Like Three Musketeers was a lot of, we had a lot of NVCC guys come down and audition for that and be in that for the first time. But also Rodney, who is not associated with that. This was his first production with Phoenix was Three Musketeers. And then he was like, oh, I want to work with you guys again. And now he's in Baskerville. So
That's exciting. So Baskerville, that's going to be an amazing performance, an amazing show, I'm sure. It's going to start on July 15th,
yes.
and then it's going to run through Saturday, July 29th.
Correct.
And that's going to be in Oakville at the former Clockwork Repertory Theater. I did not say that correctly, but it's a Repertory Theater there in Oakville. So that's going to be an amazing show. Looking forward to seeing that. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then I'd like to talk a little bit more about the history, your history in theater, if you don't mind. We're going to delve into that a little bit further. So we'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk here in studio at Torrington's WAPJ, that's Torrington Community Radio. We are talking with Deborah Goodman. Deborah Goodman is an actor who is going to be performing in Baskerville, production that's written by Ken Ludwig, which is fantastic. The first time this is going to be shown in Connecticut. In the first segment, we talked about that production. So I'm looking forward to that production. But I'd like to talk about your history, because what you described was a very very personal story, a very and I'm sure not an uncommon story. And I think it's worth talking about and delving into just a little bit. But what I'd love to find out is, what was the first thing that inspired you to be an actor?
The first, I was always a musician, actually. My mother is now a retired opera singer, and my father has been principal French horn. He lives in New Jersey, so his stuff is down there. But he was also a music teacher, and my mom still teaches private voice lessons, and she's taught at UConn and she's taught at Hart. So I always grew up with music. So that was kind of, I was singing, I was playing the flute.
Oh.
And then in high school, I decided I didn't know that I could do both, so I kept the choir thing going. I kept the singing thing going, but I said I want to try something different instead of playing the flute. So that's when I tried out for Edward Albee's The Sandbox, and I was watching everybody during auditions, and the grandma role is something that's kind of difficult for like a 16-year-old to kind of fathom. And I just had an idea for the character in my head. And the person who was putting on the production, he was a great, great teacher. He's long since passed, but he pointed me out and he was like, "You look like you have an idea. Why don't you come up and try this character?" And so I did. And I was terrified because I was a very good girl and I had to say, "God damn it." And I was like, "Oh my God." Oh, I don't know if I could say that here. Is that okay?
Well,
I'm
you
sorry.
just did.
I'm sorry.
I don't think we can go any further than that, but that's our. I will bleep it out.
Okay, thank you.
But it was for a production in high school, so I think we can understand that.
So that was that kind of hooked me and kind of got me involved in that aspect of performance, because it's very difficult because you develop a different kind of relationship with the audience than when you're performing, an aria or with a choir. And I was also a cantor at church during that time as well. So it was more akin to that, where the cantor actually speaks to the congregation and the congregation, well, speaks, sings, and then the congregation sings back. So it was more of that give and take, which I found that I really enjoyed more than anything else. And also the developing of characters, it was like I'm an avid reader, avid reader. And all of these movies that you play in your head when you're reading a story, well, in a play, you're allowed to take the movies in your head and the characters in your head and make them real. So I thought that that was really exciting and a really neat way to bring your imagination to life.
That's fantastic. And just in hearing about your background and that your mother was an opera singer and that she provided classes, it no wonder that master class, when you performed in master class, that that was something that so close to your personal experience. So
Oh,
you
I went back to my mom and I said, "Hi, so can I have some voice lessons so I can learn how to sing the songs that are needed for masterclass?" So she graciously did
And
not
hopefully
charge
she,
me.
I was going to say, hopefully she gave you a
She
discount
gave
that.
me, yes, she gave me a discount of freedom. So she really helped out a lot with that production.
That's fantastic. And so in high school, that's when you first started in this theatrical journey, even though
Yes.
prior to that, you've there's a certain theatrics, I suppose, in performance of music and singing.
Yes.
And then in college, so when you were going to go to college, you had the idea of being of the acting as the major. That was at
Yes.
the intention,
Yes,
but
yes.
over time, that's not how it ended up. And you were describing it how, in your experience, being a woman in this particular environment, was an issue. That is that correct?
Yes, unfortunately. And I know that it is also probably common in speaking to other people who are now in. So many of us, I have to say, in community theater, we're all volunteers, but most of the people that I've been in productions with have gone to at least some schooling for acting. That just speaks to how difficult the profession is. But I think it is more difficult for women because we have ageism as well as sexism in theater. And there have been multiple articles recently, actually, that I've read about that still being prevalent. And it's a really, when you come from such a great experience as I did in high school and then coming to college, it wasn't that I had a bad experience everywhere, but unfortunately, the worst experience that I had was with somebody who was also my advisor at the
Ah,
time.
okay.
And at UConn, you had to audition every year for the next year. So it was a very, and there were very few people in class with me. you know, the graduating classes are very small, as they should be. I mean, and you should have to audition. It was actually not, it was every half year.
Okay.
But, you know, it just, the roles that I was given and the things that were said to me were very different from what I thought they would be and what my experience was. And it was because I was a woman.
Wow. That's
Yeah.
I'm more than frustrating and sad, and I'm sorry that that experience is, you know, something that you experienced. What I'm interested as well is that somehow you found a way back to theater after a very negative experience. Because if you have a dream and you have an interest, and then through some sort of structure that you believe in, because you believe in the schooling structure as well, that there is some impediments put into your path, you then found a way back into theater. And I can tell, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I can tell that you have a drive and a love of theater that is flourishing. Would that be a fair assessment?
Absolutely. I have, I feel, if I could say so myself, I feel that I've grown immensely as an actor since getting back into theater 4 years ago, and it's a long time, and yet it's not a long time. But I've been in so many productions that have allowed me to really explore my talents as an actor. In general, I like more straight plays than musicals.
Really? Okay.
Yes, I know. Everybody seems surprised by that because of my musical background. But in general, I gravitate more toward just straight plays and speaking roles rather than musicals. And I guess it's because I don't feel like I've had the opportunity to explore and stretch myself in just straight plays and acting, like I'd like to. So I'm kind of, that's what my drive is to really explore every type of character. Things that are out of character for me personally, are really interesting to me. And I feel like I break people. I'm funny looking, I guess.
No,
But I gravitate. I can, comedy is comfortable for me.
no, you have a flair for the comedic. That's what
Yes.
exactly. So, in the third and final segment of our conversation, we're going to talk about some of your favorite roles. We're going to be talking about some of the things that roles that you have performed, and some of the roles that you have yet to do that are of interest to you. We'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in the studio is Deborah Goodman. We're talking about her world of theater, the fact that she began in theater in high school, that then when she went to college, the experience of being an actor did not live up to the expectations that she had had, and that there were some challenges and difficulties along the way, and some unwarranted challenges and difficulties that set into her path, that she then rediscovered the opportunities for acting, and then has in the past 4 years flourished with multiple roles every single year, especially with the esteemed Phoenix Stage Company, which had for a very long time performed in Naugatuck, and now they are in Oakville. Deborah, what are some of the favorite roles that you have performed as an actor? You described that you enjoy stretching the boundaries, stretching your acting chops, if you will. What are some of your favorite roles?
I have to say one of the well, probably the favorite was when my comeback role, as it were, playing the lead in Red Velvet Cake Wars, because it was just it was It was so exciting to me, and I had that feeling of excitement every single performance all the time. And that was really great, and a lot of fun, and I met a lot of great people.
For those unfamiliar with Red Velvet Cake Wars, could you describe? It sounds like a comedy.
It is. It's a Joan's Hope Wooten comedy. And I played, it takes place in the South, and I played Gay Nell. And it's very easy for me to slip back into that Southern. I do not have a Southern accent in the current production of
Oh, okay.
Baskerville. That is one of the accents that we do not do. Yeah, so that's probably one of my favorite. I have to say, I think that Baskerville is going to become one of my favorites as well, just because of the opportunity to play so many different roles in one, one production. That really stretches you. That's not the first time I've done that, but this is probably the most varied amount of roles and the most amount of roles in one production. But another production that will always have a place in my heart is the Vagina Monologues that I did with the Little Theater in Manchester. I did that September 2016, I believe. And that was just, it was interesting because it was a totally different theater. And the people there were also very gracious. It was a great place to work, and I met a lot of people through that. And it was something that I'd always wanted to be a part of, and I thought that it was really important to progress women's rights and
Oh,
things like
sure.
that. There's a lot of good social commentary that's in that play. So I'd like to kind of, those are type of things that I'm interested in, and I'd like to be involved in. I thought, actually, one thing that has a place in my heart, even though I said that I prefer straight plays over musicals, is I played the baker's wife in Into the Woods, that was actually directed by a friend of mine at the time, right after I was just out of high school. So that in between time, between that summer between high school and college, and that'll always have a place in my heart. That was really fun. I love that show. Into the Woods, I would do in a heartbeat. So those are, and as far as future roles, I would like to stretch into something very dramatic and something that is, for me personally, would be outside of my character, such as like an evil role, or like the opportunity to explore that side of a character as well. That would be very interesting to me.
And by evil you mean well is it something where you're looking for
Like a
a
villain.
dramatic evil as opposed to comedic
Yeah.
Disney-esque
Yeah. Although that might be fun too,
okay.
but yes, in my mind, I was thinking more along the lines of, yeah, a dramatic
Of a
villain.
serious.
Yeah.
Well, if there's one thing that I would project, it's that you can accomplish anything that you set your mind to because you have the talent and the drive to make your dreams a reality as you have done so at the Phoenix Stage Company. So
You're very kind. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the many different roles that you play, the many different productions that you're in, and the most recent one is Baskerville, which will
Yes.
be staged by the Phoenix
Phoenix.
Stage Company in Oakville. That's for the run of July 15th through Saturday, July 29th. And for more information, where can the people turn to if they want more information about this particular show or the stage company?
Sure. They can call the Phoenix Stage Company, which the number is 860-417-2505, or they can look on the website, which is www.phoenixstagecompany.org, and there's also a Facebook page.
Our Facebook page. Okay,
Yes,
excellent.
Phoenix Stage Company. Yep.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to a huge success with Baskerville. May it have the same success as the other Phoenix Stage Company productions, like the 5-star rated
Three
Three
Musketeers.
Musketeers. So that's fantastic. Deborah Goodman, thank you for coming in to Torrington's WAPJ to talk to us here on Nutmeg Chatter.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
This has been fantastic. Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank you for that. Nutmeg Chatter can be found at nutmegchatter.com. And also there's a Facebook page, Facebook.com/NutmegChatter. You can also find us on Twitter, which is at NutmegChatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Please stay tuned at 4 p.m. for The Hotspot with Darcy. Always a fantastic program, so please listen to that. Thank you, and have a wonderful afternoon.